Hi, podcast listeners. This is Katia Rogers, executive producer of On The Media, with a short message just to remind you guys. I know you already know, but I just want to reinforce the fact that this is a listener-supported podcast. We really rely on your contributions to keep bringing you this show every week. We really do. All contributions in support of the show are helpful, but monthly donations are extra powerful because they help us plan for the future. Right now, if you kick in the monthly contribution of $7, we have a limited edition Breaking News Consumer Handbook magnet. Stick it on your fridge or by your computer. You can refer to it the next time some drama is unfolding on cable TV. We really hope you'll just take a minute to think about what this show means to you and make that contribution. Just go to onthemedia.org/donate, or even easier, just text OTM to 69866. A really simple form will pop up and you chip in $7 a month in support of our show, and we'll send you one of those shiny new magnets. Thank you so much.
Art Cullen is a reporter and co-owner of the Storm Lake Times, a twice-weekly county paper with a circulation of 3,330. It has a staff of about 10, including the recipes editor. Its top advertiser is Builders Sharpening and Service, and it just won a Pulitzer Prize for editorial writing, taking on three sets of county commissioners and big agriculture in one fell swoop. Here's a taste of Cullen's poison pen. Aimed at county politicians, he learned were letting ag lobbyists bankroll the county's defense of a lawsuit demanding it seek reparations from big polluters. "You have to wonder," he wrote, "if Buena Vista County supervisors ever have a twinge of regret or shame when they cash a paycheck. Because, to hear them tell it, they don't know who's paying for their awfully expensive defense of a lawsuit filed by the Des Moines Waterworks. About $1 million in invoices were paid to Des Moines and Washington, D.C. law firms until March, and the supervisors claim not to know who gave them the money. That's stunning. The Agribusiness Association of Iowa organized a fund to pay those bills, but it reportedly refuses to tell the counties who the donors were." Art, welcome to On the Media.
Well, thank you, Bob.
First of all, and I hope you won't find this to be an Easterner trying to be all cornpone and everything, but mazel tov. That's fantastic.
Oh, great, great. Well, back at you, as we say in Iowa.
All right, just such a David and Goliath story. Tell me about Goliath.
We were taking on the Buena Vista County Board of Supervisors over a public records request to determine what their legal liabilities might be in a lawsuit filed by the Des Moines Waterworks against these three counties. And behind this fund were many of agribusiness's big names, including Monsanto and Koch Fertilizer. And
that's the Koch brothers.
Correct.
Koch Fertilizer.
Yeah, they had met with the Agribusiness Association of Iowa in July of 2015 to form this fund that would cover the defense costs of these three counties.
Now, this lawsuit we've discussed, what was in it that was a threat to these manufacturers of fertilizers and pesticides and operators of large meat plants and so forth?
They were seeking to regulate drainage districts under the Clean Water Act. And the threat was that it would be the first time that Iowa agriculture would be regulated. The Farm Bureau and other interest groups did away with all that in the Reagan years, and they just aren't going to accept any sort of regulation on agriculture.
And so they cooperated in bankrolling the elected government's defense of this lawsuit.
Yes. Iowa's always prided itself on having the cleanest and most open government in the country. Iowa and Florida have, you know, some of the best sunshine laws in the nation. And it was really offensive that dark money is now entering our court system, not only our political system, but our court system. And we didn't elect the Farm Bureau or the Agribusiness Association of Iowa or Koch Fertilizer. We elected a five-member board of supervisors.
You did shame the dark money out of the system, though, didn't you? When you revealed that they were funding the lawsuit, on behalf of a duly elected governmental body. They backed off.
Yeah, they didn't want to back down, but we had them backed into a corner through the Iowa Public Records Law. And the Iowa Freedom of Information Council, with the assistance of Mike Giudicessi, a great attorney from Des Moines, helped us out at no cost to convince these county officials that they were heading straight into a violation of the Iowa Public Records Law, and they knew it.
Tell me about any backlash. Anybody put a cherry bomb in your mailbox or worse?
Mainly these big interests just ignored us for 3 years. And until the lawsuit was filed, nobody was really paying attention to these issues. And I would argue that they still aren't. They don't really care what we think, and so I don't think there was much blowback. They were just saying, this is some little weekly out in the sticks, forget about it. Well, then we won a Pulitzer Prize, and now they're feeling a little more heat, maybe.
Iowa, as a state, was very much Trump country, at least in the general election. Does your audience want to hear you agitating against these gigantic institutions that make the economy there hum?
Well, you know, this is Farm Bureau country, and it's not necessarily a popular position to take. But on the other hand, Iowans are pretty smart people. It's also the most literate state in the country, and everybody reads community newspapers, and they take it seriously, and they think. And the Des Moines Register poll, the Iowa poll, which is the most respected poll in politics, showed that, you know, nearly 70% of Iowans agreed with the Des Moines Water Works position, including strong majorities of people who live in small towns like Storm Lake and who live very close to agriculture and were best friends with a lot of farmers like I am. A lot of farmers have told me, you know, congratulations for winning the award. You're my bud. Everybody agrees we have dirty water in Iowa. But nobody agrees on what we should do about it.
Since the election, there's been a lot of talk about bubbles, liberals talking to liberals and listening only to liberals, conservatives doing the same, never the twain do meet. Do you think that this polarization is real?
Yes. I live in the 4th Congressional District in rural northwest Iowa, and our congressman is a guy by the name of Representative Steve King. And it's very interesting that it plays out here just like it plays out across the country. Storm Lake, a town of about 10,000 to 15,000 people, votes against Steve King every election and votes for Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. However, the Buena Vista County, where we're the county seat, voted for Trump and for Steve King. And so in a county of 22,000 people, you can see that national red-blue thing going on.
In Storm Lake itself, you have a heavy population of immigrants who are there working in the various agriculture industries, right?
Yes. About 88% of our elementary school are children of color, and we speak about 21 languages in Storm Lake. It's the most diverse city in the Midwest. I'm not kidding. Maybe the only city more diverse might be El Paso, but I think we have more people from Asia and Africa and every place else.
What role does the Times play, that is the Storm Lake Times, in keeping channels of communication open, or is there any such thing?
Well, community newspapers across Iowa kind of keep communities woven together and on the same page, as it were. And it's not totally a Facebook world yet here. People still come to the community newspaper as a forum where reasonable people can hash things out, I think. We don't pay a lot of attention to political news on our front page. We do on our editorial page. And there, I take a very strident view. We very much go against the grain of Northwest Iowa in saying that we are open and welcoming people in Iowa. We are a tolerant people. And we don't have much choice but to try and grow, because otherwise we're dying fast. And that's been our main message over 27 years since my brother founded this newspaper. We don't get a lot of blowback from it. People, they know us. They knew our dad was an FDR Democrat. You know, he ran on the Kennedy ticket here in Storm Lake in 1960 for the state legislature. They know I can't stand Steve King or Donald Trump, and they accept that.
Are they dismissive of anything that is printed in the Storm Lake Times, you know, including the tractor ads?
I think that King voters are dismissive of our editorial page in general, just as I'm dismissive of a lot of Daniel Hanager's columns in the Wall Street Journal. I think people are dismissive of me, and that's all right. But I know what's right, and I think I'm winning over new hearts every issue.
During the campaign and after the election, there was a whole bunch of hand-wringing, mainly by the coastal press, about how poorly we penetrated Red America. We didn't understand what they were thinking, and we didn't do a good enough job trying to understand their grievances. So you're not doing any hand-wringing there Storm Lake about whether you were fair and equitable and open and curious?
No, we print every newsletter from our Republican state legislators where they blame everything on the minority Democrats. So we're completely open to their distortion of the truth on our editorial. And again, I'm talking about our editorial page. And we'll let readers decide, you know, who's telling the truth. I think the American newspaper, the big newspapers, are better than they've ever been. I think the Washington Post is better than it was under Ben Bradley right now. It's bigger. It's got more muscle. And, you know, I think, some of these community newspapers are tremendous. So I'm not as down on it as everybody else. My brother John and I used to work about 80 hours a week, and we've just gotten pretty fast at it, and we're pretty good at it. You know, you get the learning curve down. My son Tom will kick out, you know, two or three times as many bylines a day as most daily reporters would, but weekly newspapers, we always work our butts off. All of us do. All the weekly newspaper people work their butts off.
Can I assume you guys aren't fat cat plutocrats with 7,500 square foot houses?
I have uncashed paychecks from the 1990s in my desk drawer, so we cover payroll here, so I couldn't pay myself. We ain't getting rich, but as Gary Gerlach, a former boss of mine, once said, you know, if you want to get rich, go sell shoes. People think that you can get rich off newspapers, and so they trade them on the stock market. You know, great newspapers were always owned by benevolent titans, whether it was Marshall Fields or Pulitzer or Hearst or the Sulzbergers, Jeff Bezos, John Cullen.
One last thing. Yeah. He laughs so he wouldn't cry. All right, I have to ask something else. You know, you've gotten a lot of attention, and some of it maybe even condescending. Oh, isn't that adorable? This itsy-bitsy little newspaper is now in the pantheon with the giants.
I'll take it.
But on the other side of stereotyping, is there a kind of triumphalism on your side of this conversation about, yeah, we'll show those big city papers how you editorialize? We'll show them.
Well, I've been turned down for jobs three times by the Des Moines Register, so yeah. And I used to work at the Minneapolis Star Tribune as a copy boy, but when I was back in college a long, long time ago, I'm 59 now. And 37 years after I left the Minneapolis Tribune, I finally got my byline in the Minneapolis Star Tribune about last week. So yeah, there's a certain sense of victory there.
Art, congratulations.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's a joy talking to you.
Art Cullen is the editor of the Storm Lake Times. This has been an On the Media podcast extra. I'm Bob Garfield.